KJ4YQK. Had to double check my coffee there, make sure there wasn't anything strange in it. I was hearing that voice there. How you doing, Dave?
KJ4YQK, W4DJW, talking to me or somebody else?
You, I just heard that voice on the repeater ask about IDs and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you were talking to me. That was the announcement for the club stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, it looks like the sunspots died back down, but the 40's still going. I'm going to probably do some 40 meter today.
I'm burning up 20 meters. I have been since gray line this morning, or since before gray line this morning. I got a bunch of German stations right around gray line. And now Texas is coming in like gangbusters, like they usually do.
A 20 meter earlier. I'll have to try that tomorrow morning for gray line. Maybe I'll try gray line tonight until we get some Asian stations in.
Yeah, I had a pile up from Germany earlier this morning. When I started calling CQ, they lined up. I got a bunch of them in the log from Germany.
Antenna. I got a 6 meter. I'm gonna put that up as a bazooka. 6 meter. I'm gonna put that up today, and we'll see if we can start making use of the property next door now.
You need any help? You need a slingshot or anything to get that six meter? Or no? What did you say? 6 meter?
Yeah, it's 6 meter. I won't need to put that up too high there.
Okay. I haven't tried 6 meters in a long time. Since Jim, KI4MLN, Jim was doing 6 meters before he got his general upgrade. And he had all that stuff invested in 6 meters. I tried it out, and it didn't work so good.
It's dead all the time until it's open. When it's open, it's really open. I want to try a 6 meter out there just in case it opens up, and I'm looking at ordering another antenna, a couple more antennas. I'm going to put a beam up there on a telephone pole, and I want to do a beverage and a 160, and maybe another 80 to 10 meter on center bed.
Yeah, both the beverage and the 160 would be nice. I just don't have room for them here. I could run a beverage out through the woods over toward Greenville Tech, but if I ran it as low as it needed to be, kids running through the woods would probably hang themselves on it.
A 2-foot retainment wall along the riverbank, and White mentioned I could probably run a conduit and put a beverage antenna inside of a PVC conduit on top of that little retainer wall.
On the other side of the river, or on your side of the river?
I got about 300 feet, just over 300 feet, about 350 feet.
You still thinking about the long wire going up the other side, up and over the other side?
Yeah, I can do bobtail curtain coming off that ridge over there.
That'd get you up. I don't know how long you're planning on running it, but that hill's kind of a brick wall for you in that direction, isn't it?
Getting in a yard because the north side, it opens up, the ridge drops down where I can go out the valley. But that ridge should be an advantage of operating Europe, I would hope. Not Europe, but Asia.
Well, does it act like a reflector?
It's all granite rock over there.
Well, get those other antennas up. If you need any help, let me know.
Probably be a couple months because I got all the other stuff going on there. Demolition starts on January 17th for the cabin. And after I get that out and having the 2 septic tanks over on that property inspected and repaired as needed, then I'm bringing in, redoing the entire yard, plant and stuff, bringing in field dirt and topsoil for grass.
How much longer till you retire?
When I said I want to retire, that's way fun. I figure at age 60, so I got 4 more years.
That seems like a long time.
Unless I get laid off, I'll do Rule 55 if I get laid off.
What's Rule 55? Take a package?
Package and plus, you can start drawing on your 401k if you're out of work at your age 55. That's called Rule 55.
You're beyond 55, aren't you?
So I qualify for that role now.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll see you on the other side. I have made my transition to the other side. I'm still trying to adapt to it, though. It's kind of weird.
Floating on the idea of maybe a Class C mobile home or a Airstream trailer. I'm not sure which way I want to go, and I'm thinking of going on a little road trip.
You know, there's a couple from Simpsonville, I think, that did that. Sold their house, got an RV, and went up north. They're back down here now. They went up north. They caught COVID, went in the hospital for like 6 weeks, almost died, turned around, came back home, and they're back here now. But a very bad experience on their selling their house and buying an RV.
So my house and land, you always need a home base, a place to return to because your health is not always good. So the house is basically paid for, so, and the land's paid for. So I will always keep that and have the RV and the boat in addition to the house.
That intercoastal waterways trip would be kind of nice if you could get a good antenna set up on the boat.
The ARL antenna book on how to do the antenna set up for that. Yeah, for a boat, I'm debating if I want to buy a nice new sailboat, overhaul it for the trip, go on the trip, and when I get back and done with the boat, sell it.
Well, that's a good idea. You know the best 2 days of owning a boat.
The day that you sell it.
Well, there you go. Not so true with a motorcycle.
That Cadillac 25 I got there on Hartwell, I'll probably keep it because I do enjoy it. I'll be out there this weekend on it. And for New Year's Day, I won't be on that boat. I'll be on somebody else's boat. We've got the sailboat racing series, Frostbite.
Well, that's good. It's always nice to have a variety of hobbies. Are you working today?
Until next year. I'm off the rest of the year now.
Okay, I remember you telling me that. W4DJW. Well, good. You ought to go up to 40. It's got like 6 or 7 people on it at a time. Not 40, up to 20. It's got a bunch of people. I mean, if you're just looking for some conversation on HF, it's got like 6 or 7 streams running concurrently. If you want to make some contacts there, there's plenty of them. I don't know what it's like on 40. I left 40 before the sun came up.
Rag tuning and stuff like that. I'm in player on JSA. JSA, cool and all, but there's no real talking on it. It's like kind of strange. I think PSK is still where it's at.
That was a shocker for me. You're absolutely correct. I thought, okay, I've gone for a span without talking on PSK for a while. It's probably totally gone now. No, I don't think so. They're still there because you can have a nice, decent conversation without, 2 minute transmits or 1 minute transmits. You can transmit when you want to and listen when you want to for as long as you want to. And it's fast. It really goes by. I mean, it's real quick compared to the other modes. So yeah, I'm glad I'm kind of glad I got my old software rebuilt and running, and I'm having a blast with it.
I schedule where I can fire up my smart SDR so I can try out the CW functions in it. It's got some nice CW features in it for the computer.
Well, I broke out my old Morse code training program, and I'm up to 16 words a minute now on the words that have the letters that I'm not good on. So I've been practicing CW too. But I'm not sending at all. I'm not gonna yield to the temptation of sending because anybody can send. The receiving is the hard part.
My PSK for it. It decodes CW pretty good there.
Well, when I do start sending, I'll do that too, just to make sure I'm not sending faster than I can send. Because I had a habit of thinking, boy, this is good. This is great. I'm going 24 words a minute. And then I put it on the reader, and the reader said, "Nah, you're not. Back it down."
Get you know if you got sloppy code real quick.
Yeah, if a reader can read it, then humans on the other end can read it. Humans are a lot better than a machine when it comes to reading Morse code. Reading's hard.
The AI. I don't know. I tell you, I might explore that a little bit, the AI. stuff. I'm moving into VR stuff, learning the VR program now.
If you could do that and be as good as a human, you'd have something. Because humans are, you know, they're infinitely tolerant to changes in conditions. Whereas a computer program is only tolerant to the level you enable it. I did watch some videos from NVIDIA about how they're doing that automated intelligence, how it learns. It's really complex. Take a lot of work with the code, with the compilers that they have today to get something like that working. I mean, it's capable. They're capable of learning, but you have to do a lot of program to enable them to learn.
Companies, they'll pay for the AIs and stuff that are out there already for the cloud AIs.
I imagine there'd be some good money in it. I don't know if you've watched NVIDIA's stock price, but they've gone up like hundreds of times, doubled in the last couple of years. So that's where it's at. That's where the new coding is. You get to where you can code and that stuff, then you'll be in demand forever.
Applications that are AI driven on the production line, where it'll watch like a piece of, it'll watch a product come through, and if it sees something wrong with that product, it'll kick it off the line for us. And that's the AI doing that now.
So they can learn from their mistakes. How did the feedback has to get back to them somehow, though, that when they make a mistake, what they did wrong?
How they're doing. I have to talk to the programmers on that. I know it's in their production is where it's at, in the plants and stuff.
Well, I got two buck converters in. I'm going to get them assembled. They take a little while to assemble, DC to DC, for radio-controlled airplanes, for setting up Raspberry Pis and an antenna tracker, that kind of stuff. So that's my other hobby. Play with amateur radio while I'm building equipment for FPV, flying with goggles.
There's lines on the other side of that river then with the goggles, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can do that with a ground station, too. You don't have to have goggles for that. Goggles, one of the things that you can do now with goggles that's different than before is they've got this component called radar. That has four you can get four instances of radar, one on each airplane. I have four airplanes and four pilots, and everybody can see everybody else's airplane. So before you take off, you all agree, I'm following you, you're following me, you're following him, he's following you, right? So everybody knows who's following who. And on your heads-up display, you see all four people and an arrow where that person is with respect to where you are. And if you're following the third guy, then you point your arrow straight ahead. That means you're pointing at him, and then you give it throttle, and it catches up with him. That's the hardest part about following each other. And these guys are doing this now. They're doing night flights with LEDs on the back of the airplanes flying through garages. It's just incredible shots that they're able to make with three of them lined up out in front of them, the back guy filming the front three as they all fly, you know, through the Grand Canyon or through a jungle, or just remarkable flight skills with the new technology.
Things how they're doing those the military drones, like you get multiple drones for like air defense or air attack. They got multiple drones. They're probably using that same type of technology, but with the AI controlling it all.
Yeah. The AI would need the same kind of feedback. Who do I follow? Who's following me? Yeah. In fact, that's what I'm doing with. So there's a combination between my autonomic flight and my FPV flight. There's a relationship there, the same relationship you're talking about with what the military is doing with drones. And that is make it enable the autonomics to do the same thing as a human. And it'll do that same thing, and it'll do it a whole lot better.
The military drones, the quads and stuff like that, the small stuff, not the big airplanes, the small drones, it will blow your mind what they're doing with them.
Yeah, they're much more agile than the big full-scale airplanes, although the big full-scale airplanes are getting extremely agile as well. The full-scale jets can stand on their tail with that vector. They can vector their exhaust, and make it stand still in the air on its tail.
Are those the, what they call TikToks? I wonder if those are actually U.S. military secret airplanes.
The TikTok is a helicopter maneuver. It's where the helicopter goes vertical, and then it gives it a burst of air from its main rotor in one direction or the other, doesn't matter. And that tilts it over to fall on its head upside down, for example, if that's the direction they went. And then they reverse the pitch on the blades and pow, they hit it again. And it jumps back up to where it was when it was vertical and goes all the way over to the other side and lands on its skid, but it doesn't land. It gets like it's going to really close to land on its skid. Then they flip their pitch of the prop again and hit it really hard, and it goes back up vertical again. And then they just keep going back and forth like that, tick-tock, tick-tock. It's a wild maneuver.
YouTube Navy, UDFs, I think they call them now, unidentified objects, UFOs, basically. Look for those videos from U.S. Navy. They got these aircraft that they call TikTok in the video.
Okay. That's on YouTube?
Film that was released, that was leaked from the Navy about them intercepting UFOs and stuff like that. And what you just described to me is some of those maneuvers these unidentified flying objects are doing out there.
Okay, I'll have to go look at it. That sounds pretty cool. It's a pretty wild time for aviation, to be alive at aviation. Anyway, I'm going to get back to working on this book converter. I got some assembling to do. It takes some focus to get it assembled. Anyway, good talking to you. Hope I see you out there on 20 meters on the waterfall. 14.070. Catch you later. KJ4YQK, W4DJW.
Later, this is KJ4YQK. We'll be clear.